Head coach John Hines, outdoors. We have literally put the coach on the hot seat. I mean, literally. Not even figuratively. We put him on a hot seat.
I told him it was the cool seat.
This is no, I know, but it's once you get outside on a day like today, there's really nothing cool. Willie Donick is standing by in the cornfields of Iowa, so he will weigh in as well. Have you been to the Field of Dreams?
I have not been, no. Yeah. I'd like to be able to get there someday.
So have you seen the movie?
I did, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, great movie. Didn't they have a game, Major League Baseball game there last year, which was pretty cool to see.
Willie's son is out there playing in a tournament out there.
Okay.
So they're
That's
doing tournaments, yeah.
Oh, nice. Good for him.
Yeah. He's not spotted Moonlight Graham. nobody's choked on a hot dog. And he is not – we had advice from the listeners, don't run backwards in the cornfields. I was like, that sounds like sound advice.
It sounds like good advice, yeah. Willie's a sharp guy. I don't think he'll make that mistake.
I don't think he will either. So here we are, down to two teams. Tampa and Colorado get things started tonight. You know how this works. A lot of things have to happen to get to this point. And a lot of times, whether it's injuries or what have you, or a team gets out at the right time, typically what everybody has in their mind is pegged going into the playoffs as maybe the two best teams. They rarely ever see each other at the finish line. I think they may have gotten it right this year.
Yeah, I mean, both teams have obviously played really well. I think coming out of the West, Colorado was pegged to be the top team, and they certainly haven't disappointed in the way that they've played. I think, you know, you look at the depth that they have in their team. They're getting contributions from not only their top players, but I think, you know, throughout their lineup, and you see where they've got some injuries on D or up front, you know, that next man up mentality. They have the depth and the talent to be able to, I think, sustain some of the injuries that they've had, and even in goaltending. I think in our series, you know, Kemper was out, and then Kemper got hurt again, and Frank Kuz has come in and has been able to hold the fort for them. And I think when you look at Tampa, you know, they have Vasilevskiy. I mean, he's the best goaltender in the world. He's a big game player. You know, he wins key games. I think their depth and their commitment to winning, I think some of the thing that's been impressive with Tampa is not just the talent they have, but they've had to adapt in each series that they've gone through, and they've been able to do it. And I think it's going to be – it's obviously a big-time heavyweight fight between the two teams, and I think it's going to be a great series.
The hardest thing I can imagine – you can watch guys on film, and you can study them, and you have scouts who watch them, and you can sit in a room and talk about what they bring to the table on the ice. You can do that, I think. I feel confidently by just watching them through your scouts and on video. But what you can't do – and, yeah, you may have conversations with them – but you don't really know the makeup of somebody, right, until you get them on your watch. And I think what's impressive to me, the hardest thing in sports is to figure out those guys that have it, those guys that they don't get rattled in the moment, they don't shy away from the big stage and the bright lights. It's very clear Tampa knows how to win, right? They don't get – I mean – Pat Maroon, I mean, what is this? I mean, is this in a row now? Four,
yeah.
Stanley?
I think it's going on. Could go on
four in
if they
a row
win it, yeah.
if they win
yeah.
it. I mean, that's – and I know it's not just him. Obviously, they've got great players. But Tampa doesn't ever wilt. They get down 0-2 to the Rangers, and they win the next four. Like, how do you find those guys? How do you find guys that are just – they come up big in the biggest moments?
Well, I think a lot of times what you try to do, obviously, is if you start out with your drafting, you know, I think that's a big emphasis that you want to be able to face.
Because you can't coach it, right? You can't coach that, or can you?
It's hard. It's hard to coach. I think when you can find players that have it and have a track record of doing it, I think when you do your scouting, you want to look at, you know, players that can play. They play in big moments. How do they play in playoffs? How do they play against the top teams? How do they play against the hardest teams to play against? You know, even when you're doing your free agent scouting that we're going through now, is when we're looking at players, we're not looking at game five of the regular season. We're looking at, you know, how does this particular player, if it's a defenseman, how does he play against Florida, Tampa, Colorado, on the road, in those buildings, against top players, big, strong, heavy, hard teams. And I also think you're looking at track records of guys that have been able to produce in big-time moments, and try to get as many of those players as you can in your organization, whether it's through drafting, trading, free agency, whatever it may be. I think that's what you want to do. And, you know, Tampa's done a very good job of that. I think when they've had players depart their team, they've been able to really get the right fits of the identity and the culture and players that, you know, I think their GM said a couple years ago when they traded for Blake Coleman and I was in New Jersey, it was to win in the playoffs, you have to have ultra competitors. And I think that, you know, that's a team that has is made up of a bunch of ultra competitors that have a lot of talent.
Guys like that when he played, that's what you want, that makeup.
Absolutely.
Kind of like what I bring to the show, dog mentality.
Yeah, you got to have that. I've always, Coach, talked about an individual having dog in him, not D-O-G, but D-A-double-G. Yeah. It's a guy that never backs down, a guy that's going to, you know, raise up or stand up when things get tough. Typically in sports, we know who those guys are, and we zero in on them very quickly, whether it be in college or in the pros. And I'm sure you guys and your coaching staff, that's what you look for.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I think, you know, particularly over the last couple of years, we feel like we've gotten more and more of those guys in. You know, you look at some of the younger players that have come up for us, like a Tanner Janot, for example, you know, Yakov Trenin. The more the temperature rises in the game, the more those guys are there. I think they thrive in those situations. I think you look at some of our other guys, like a guy like Yossi. He's a guy that doesn't back down. The bigger the game, the higher the stakes, the more intense the competition, the better you know, a guy like him gets. And that's what you're ultimately trying to do, is build a team of guys that have different skill sets, but they have that dog in them. They have that competitive mindset, you know, to be able to compete. And then whatever your skill level is, you could be a big, hard, heavy defenseman, but you've got to be able to play your game in high-stakes games. Could be a highly offensive, skilled player, but you've got to be able to play with no time and space, heavily checked, play through matchups, play on the road. And I think when you can get your team to that competitive mindset filled with those types of players, you're going to give yourself the best chance to win, you know, particularly in the playoffs and ultimately a championship.
Why did you feel like Tanner Janot was best? He was producing, but he was best on that third line. Obviously, they were working, but you were having issues with the second line getting the production you're looking for in a top six. And you would dabble, but you seemed very reluctant. Tanner would slide back pretty quick. What was it about that line that you felt the need you wanted to keep them together?
Style of game. I think when you look at the way that the three of them play, they're real north-south players. They play a pretty simple game where I think they can play fast and quick and hard because, you know, they knew where the puck was going to go. It was going to go north. They were going to get in the offensive zone. I think they were going to work as a three-man tandem on the forecheck or offensive zone. I thought they supported each other well, and they were able to play fast and really play to their skill sets. I felt like when we moved Tanner up, whether it was with Joey or sometimes with Granlund or whatnot, you know, those guys think the game at a different level, and they play north-south, but they also can play east-west, and they play fast, but there's different reads sometimes when you play with a Granlund or a Johansson or a Duchesne. You know, that it seemed like Tanner was trying to adapt to that. It doesn't mean that he can't do it, but in this particular season, when he was in those situations, he wasn't as effective from an offensive perspective, and we felt when we put that line together, they had great chemistry, so we felt like that was why we wanted to keep him. And, you know, his production was high playing on that line, and sometimes it doesn't mean that, you know, because a guy's going to score 20 goals, it still doesn't mean he can play with certain players. It's trying to put guys together that have similar skill sets that can complement each other.
Jeremy Luzon, 4 years, $8 million deal. Guys traded for him at the deadline. Small sample size. I think 13 regular season games, 3 playoff games. So we really weren't able to see much. You can tell he fits what you're trying to do, your system, what you're trying to get out of this team. But still, small sampling. You know him better than all of us. What do you guys like about Luzon moving forward?
Well, one, he's a young player. I mean, he's a young guy that, you know, we acquired him to come in, and he fits a profile. He's got good size. He's got great mobility. He plays the game hard, and he's got good hockey sense. You know, those are the things that you want in your defenseman. I think when you look at the teams that have true success in the NHL right now in the playoffs, you know, their average size, their decor is 6'3", you know, 220, 225. They can skate. They're mobile. They got reach. They can end plays defensively, and they have the skating ability to be able to join offensively. And Jeremy has all those contributions. And the one thing, as Derek and I, as we were just talking about, you want to have competitors. This guy's a competitor, and he's a young guy. So we, you know, I think it's a great move for the organization. I think he really fits what we're trying to do. He brings some more size, mobility, and some character to our decor. And he's got a lot of upside, and that's what you want in a player of his age.
Now, is it hard to get a guy that is so used to scoring, a guy that is so offensive-minded, to then become not necessarily all defensive-minded, but to balance both defense and offense. Because, hell, you got some hell of a scorers, whether it's Duchesne or Philip Forsberg, Yossi, but they also play defense as well.
Yeah, you know, it's different than football, obviously. Like, it's a transitional sport, yeah. Right? So you can be an offensive guy, but there are situations in the game where you're required to be able to play defense. And, you know, I think what we've really come as a group to understand is, you know, the better you play without the puck, the more you're going to have it and the quicker you're going to get it back. So the better you defend, the quicker you defend, the less defense you have to play. And I think there's certain things with those guys is understand when they have the puck, when they're in offensive situations, they have some freedom. They have creative minds. They have skill sets. They're going to make some turnovers. They're going to make some mistakes. But they're also going to turn plays that other people can't turn and make plays. So we can live with that. If you make one of those mistakes, what area of the ice is it? Is it in the offensive zone? Is it the offensive blue line? Is it areas where we can recover and they can recover from? They have freedom to be able to make plays, and they got to feel that way. But the other side is when we don't have it, when we're in our defensive zone, when, you know, we're under attack, when we're not in areas to score, they've got to have a commitment to defend and play the system because everyone's counting on them to do their job. So it's really having that balance of they got freedom and they got go time when they're in the right areas of the ice and they have opportunities to make plays. But if they can be leaders of our team and drivers and in the ability to check the right way when it's called upon, that's when, you know, that's when you're going to have a really strong team. And that's why they've had really productive years. I mean, they were good on both sides of the puck this year.
All right, Coach, that was a long shift. We'll take a break. Let's get you hydrate. You got room for more, or are you on a tight schedule?
No, I'm with you guys.
Because I know Willie's in the cornfields. He wants to talk, too.
Yeah, he's probably having a hot dog during this one.
More with John Hines next here on the DDC. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland and Derek Mason here at Ford Ice Center in Antioch. We're celebrating 615 Day to help out the Boys and Girls Club of Tennessee. We would love for you to donate. You can go to thegamenashville.com/615day. Predators head coach John Hines is also out here with us in the heat. He's not afraid. He's not scared. Willie Donick is standing by in Iowa. I'm not sure it's as hot as it is here, but he is in the cornfields, and you just never know what you're going to get in the cornfields. Willie, the floor is yours.
All right, Coach. Greetings from Iowa here, and I am chewing everything I have, including hot dogs, very carefully, because we don't want to have Moonlight Graham have to come off the field. You know, I don't know if we can count on that here today. But, Coach, I'm out here with my son. He's playing. It's so much fun to watch him play. I know you've got daughters that are all competitive in their sports. So tell people what you do during the summer, like when you get to be a dad and watch your daughters go after it, because I know they get around and compete.
Yeah, I have two in high school. One's going to be a junior. One's going to be a sophomore. Both play volleyball and basketball. So right now, last weekend we were in Atlanta for a volleyball tournament, and then right now this week my other daughter plays Ravenwood basketball. So they have the summer league going on. So she had games yesterday, tomorrow, and Friday. So it's nice to have a chance to be able to see them. And then in a couple weeks we're going to Indianapolis for volleyball nationals, and then there's a little bit of a dead period for 2 weeks in July where we'll get some family stuff going on and go to the draft and have development camp, and then late July the kids start high school volleyball again, and then school starts August 2nd. So you know, this is a really good time, you know, to be able to spend time with them, support them in their activities, you know, help my wife out with the driving to and from all the different things. And you know, it's important, I think, you know, in our profession, when you're in your off season and you have time to be able to give to your family and your kids, it's important that you do that, because, you know, in season you don't have any leeway and you do miss quite a bit. So it's a great time of the year for us to be able to be together as a family, and certainly for me to be able to support them as their dad.
Now, have you mastered the art of keeping the low profile at the game, or are you a fist pumper or clapper? Do you sit with all the other parents and cheer them on when you do, or do you try to hang back a little bit?
Well, the bald head's a dead giveaway, so I can't hide in that. You know that, so that's always right off the bat. So sometimes I go with a baseball hat, but no, I mean, you know what? I'm their dad, so it's not. I just like to support them, and no, I'm not. You know, I sit with the family, sit with the other people, but you know, to me, it's their thing, and you know, I want to be there to be able to support them and encourage them and support the coaches, and you know, that's what I do. So kind of low profile. After getting fined $25,000 this year for the refs, I like to stay off the refs is same way. So
you don't want to get in any other lists of referees. That's a good move for sure. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, in the stands, too, if I get out of line, my wife's there to slap me when she's not on the bench. So.
Yeah, that's really the list you want to stay off of. That's for sure. Coach John Hines is with us here, Coach Nashville Predators. And Coach, you talk about this a lot, you know, constantly evaluating your team. It's so easy in the league, it seems like, when things are going really well, it's easy to start thinking almost that you're better than you actually are. And then on the other side, when you have a rough ride for maybe a couple of weeks, maybe it still starts seeming like you're terrible and nothing can go right. The puck's never going to go in for you, and you're so long from where you got to go. So as we've talked about this a lot, as Colorado has continued to sort of dominate here, and we'll see how they stack up against Tampa, does it give you any new perspective as to the way your season ended? You lost UC Soros, one of the best goalies in the league. Then you had to play Colorado. It didn't go right for you, and there's just that really awful feeling when that series ends. But as you come out of it and you get more removed for it, does your perspective change at all?
Well, it doesn't necessarily change, Willie, in the sense that, you know, we all felt like we could have played better in that playoff series, regardless of whether Juice was in the net or not. And you know, it was something I thought, you know, the first two games we weren't at a level that were competitive enough to be able to make it really solid games. I thought game 3 and 4 we were better. You know, but I think that's something that we're really taking a look at, that it wasn't acceptable to us, you know, the way that the season ended, particularly in the playoffs. And those are things, whether that's from a coaching perspective where we can do a better job, and we're working on some things this summer, individual players, you know, guys and certain things that we've got to be better at individually, collectively as a team. And then right now, this is the stage of the year too where, you know, as you said, you're constantly evaluating your team. How can we get better? What types of players can we add to our team, whether that's draft, free agency, you know, trades, whatever that may be, is where, you know, we want to be better and continue to grow our team to a level that can compete for a championship.
So how does the process work? We all have our lists of potential free agents. Of course, some can sign back with their teams. Of course, there's guys on the Predators that you have to make decisions on, of course, with the whole front office. But do you watch tape of other guys who could potentially be fits for you guys? Because there's a way you guys play. You've established the identity of the team and the system that you want to play. So it's probably getting easier to find guys that you think would be fits, correct?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, we have a pretty good we kind of been on the grind here for a bit. With that, so you know, the system that we use is we meet regularly with our coaching staff, our pro scouts, and our management, and then we go through, you know, goaltenders, defensemen, left shot, right shot, certain player qualities that they all have. We meet collectively as a group of, and then target potential guys that could fit in the way that we play, guys that fit in the character that we want to bring into our team. You also have to take into years of contract and money, you know, what we can do with our salary cap and the certain players we can come in. We go out and watch video as a coaching staff. The pro scouts have watched these players. The management watch them, and then we all meet. And we kind of, you know, you either eliminate guys or you really zone in and target guys that you fit, that we believe are going to fit one, our identity in how we want to play in particular positions, or what we think certain guys are going to be. You don't just want to go out and get random players. You got to fit the needs that your team has, and then you also look at the character of the player, and then you also look at, okay, what are they going to command in salary and years, and what fits into our team. So we're in that process now. I think we're doing a really thorough job, and you know, we want to be prepared coming the draft in July 13th, that we're all on the same page of the types of players and people that we want to bring in the organization.
We get this a lot, too, when we're talking about the team. People say, well, you know, Forsberg and Josi and Duchesne, Ryan Johansson, they all had really, really good years. Could they possibly match that again next year? And, of course, as you know, everything is different every year. But people ask, where's the improvement going to come from? So as you look at a lot of your young guys that, first or second year that come in under you, what's the realistic expectation? If those guys do, the veterans fall back a little bit on production, can you make it up with maybe the collective growth of the young guys? Where do you see that?
Well, I certainly think there's opportunity for that with our young guys. And, you know, it's not just the younger players. But I think when you look at some of the guys that we have coming in, I think Tanner can be there. Trenton can be there. Tomasino can be there. I think Tolvanen's going to be able to produce more. You know, when you're an offensive player, sometimes you have down years. You know, it's not easy to be able to produce at a high level year in and year out, particularly for younger players. But I think that we have the character of players and the talent level for those guys to be able to continue to grow and produce for us. We also think it's important, too, that, you know, what are we going to add to our team? You know, we have an opportunity here, whether it's trade, whether it's free agency. You know, can we add some players to our team that, you know, we feel are going to be able to fit the identity that we want to play with? We need some speed, some skill, some size, some competitiveness that can help surround our core players. And I think if we can make the right decisions and things fall the right way, you know, we're really excited about our group. And I think as far as your top players, you know, there's no reason why those guys can't, you know, come back and have great years. One of the biggest reasons they had great years was their consistency and their work ethic. They're competitive guys. They were in great shape. They committed to check without the puck. They were able to play, you know, big minutes for us because they played the game the right way. And if they come back and they have the same mindset and get, we talked with every player, 1 or 2% better in certain areas, and everyone comes back with that mindset coming into training camp, we're going to be an extremely competitive team.
I know last year you had to wait until the last second almost when the free agency started before you knew you had Mikhail Granlund back, a guy that does so many things for you. So as you prepare, we all know that everybody's anxiously waiting to see what the story is with Philip Forsberg. How do you try to gauge and hopefully envision your team with him, but also envision what you would do as a plan B, plan C, et cetera?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going through now. I mean, there's obviously very good communication with Philip. You know, he's around. He's at Centennial Sportsplex. He's working out. He's skating. So, you know, he's in a good spot. We've connected and talked, and I think he's in a good place. But things have to play out, obviously, on the business side with him. So we certainly have a plan. If Philip comes in, this is what he could get paid. These are the years. This is what our team looks like with him on it. Okay, how do we want to surround it? So let's target these types of players, and this is what our budget will look like. Okay, if Philip doesn't sign, okay, what's that next stage? How are we going to – maybe there's more players to add. There's maybe a different style of a player to add. You know, things change, but we certainly have, you know, plan A and B for sure, where you have Philip or you don't have Philip. It's two different situations, but we're certainly prepared. We're working on those things. We have targets in each one, and, you know, hopefully for us – you know, we have a lot of respect for Phil. I really enjoy coaching him. He's a big part of our team. He's been a big part of the Predators organization. And, you know, certainly from our perspective as coaches, we're hoping that Philip, is going to stay here and continue to be a big part of our team. And, we're optimistic and pretty confident that will happen.
Last thing, John, where do you think getting to the playoffs every year on your watch has been great, especially this year when nobody was picking you guys? But obviously you want to have a run. You want to make a run. Where do you feel like you are? And I know there's a lot of shuffling, as you just laid out. What's status of Forsberg, moves, the draft, everything, free agency. So you don't know what your roster is going to look like. But what you do have moving forward, do you feel like you guys, you feel comfortable with trying to get to that next step, which is obviously out of the first round and making a run?
Yeah, certainly. I think when you look at the components to be able to have success, okay, you have to have goaltending to win. So we have goaltending to win with Saros, right? You come in, you got a Norris Trophy winning top end defenseman in Josi. You have a guy like Matthias Ekholm, who's a big 6'4", you know, two way shutdown defenseman. So you have two guys, you know, on D that kind of backbone that. We feel like, you know, we need some progress. We need some progress from Fabro, from Carrier. We like Lazan. Are we going to add? What's the next? Can we add into that D core to help a Josi or Carrier, Josi or Ekholm, a little bit of size, more range. I think if we can hit that, you know, our decor is going to be better and more of a decor that looks like they're winning in the playoffs. I think when you look up front, you know, our top guys have a lot of game left in them. I think that they're driving the culture, they're driving the identity. I think that's in a good place as long as we continue to have those guys improve and drive. They got a lot of game left in them. I think when you look up front, we have some good young players that have been big-time impacts for us so far, but they're gaining experience. They've played first 82 games. They've had the playoffs. But they're the type of players and style of players that give you a chance to win. So I think, again, if we can make a one or two of these guys pop next year, see what happens this offseason, can we add the right style of players to our team that are going to make us a little bit bigger, faster? You know, if we do those things and that's our plan, I think we give ourselves the best chance to have a good 82-game schedule, get in the playoffs, and win some rounds and try to make a run.
What do you think the degree difference is with where you sit during games and to where you've been sitting for this interview? What are we talking about? That 80 degrees?
You know what? I sweat in both in the games. It's my armpits. Today is my head.
Man, if you're sweating in games out on the ice, I can only imagine.
The sweat comes from different areas.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for doing this. Best of luck moving forward. I know we'll talk to you down the road. Have fun this summer with the family, and we'll talk soon.
All right, will do. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Predators head coach John Hines. We'll take a break. More DDC next.